Hello and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Six South African male medical doctors on a mission to change the way in which we perceive healthcare. My name is Dr. Cyril Essa, and joined with us, well, he's not here in the studio, but from afar, is our esteemed guest, Siv Ngesi. Let's give him a big round of applause. Yay. How are you doing, Siv?
What's up, guys?
Great. Thank you for taking the time. Sorry we couldn't make it the last time. You know, December for doctors.
And the last time.
I know, two times
that you guys canceled.
I apologize.
You guys didn't show up.
I apologize. But thank you for making the time to come sit and chat with us today. We really appreciate it. So let's get into it. Did Lala's mic just fall? It's fine. We'll sort that out. Anyway, so tell us, if you were to give us a quick synopsis of Siv's background, what does Siv do? Because I know that you do a lot. But if you had to introduce yourself, how would you introduce yourself to someone out there that has never met Siv Ngesi?
I prove the haters wrong, and I prove the lovers right.
Okay, I like that.
My mission is just to continue to do what I love, create, have opinions, and just go out into the world and do what the fuck I want, really. I've never really cared for people's opinions. And I just want to be able to live a life where I never have to budget.
Oh, that's awesome. Tell us, what is the background? Because I know that you do a lot of things. I know that I obviously know Siv through becoming a comedian and meeting Siv in that circle.
We actually met him as the Gents Clinic at the Nelson Mandela.
Yes. So the rest of the crew, they met you when we did that Nelson Mandela Foundation event where we were talking about men's mental health and awareness. So I know you from that context. I remember meeting you for the first time when I went to Grahamstown in 2017, just to visit the arts festival and see what was happening. And you were producing comedy shows. And then we met, we chatted. I heard about how you do everything from men's health cover, fitness magazines, to having your own foundation supporting menstrual awareness, let's call it, and everything else in between. So where do you think this stems from, this creative nature, this free spirit that you have? Where do you think it stems from?
I don't know, man. I grew up in a household of two, actually a mother and two sisters. So I was always having to be able to work a little bit harder for any kind of attention, because I was always surrounded by a woman in my life. And my mother was a principal, so she was always about excellence and pushing excellence. And then I saw that, you know, sport and creativity were things that I was very good at, so that I really, really pushed that as much as possible. And I just wanted to be the best at anything that I did. And if I wasn't the best, strive to be the best. And let's be truthfully honest, you'll never be the best at anything. You just continuously be. If you're the best in the room, you're in the wrong fucking room, really. So I continuously want to just try and be and challenge myself as much as possible in any space that I do, anything that I do. And if I'm not the best at it, I will strive to be the best, and I won't stop until I'm one of the best. And creatively, I was in a very loud house. My mom was always very loud and a principal. So that's how I learned how to express myself. And because I was raised with a lot of women, a lot of the times I had to be louder to be heard.
Awesome. So tell us, you leave school, you're done with high school. What serves next move in life?
I went to America. I lived in America for about a year and 2 months or so.
Yeah, the accent.
Traveling, ski resorts. I would learn how to ski and made money off ski. Like I worked in a ski boot room when I had to give people boots for their skis and different. So I would get 2-hour lunch breaks and I became like a killer skier. Then I would bet the white boys that I could beat them down the mountain for $20. And they always used to shock to see a black guy. So I had to beat them down the mountain. So go around America, competing in karaoke competitions, and I'd like win $100 there. And then I work at like a different places in America for a year and a half. But I always, and then I used to put a reminder on my Nokia 3210.
32? You had a 3210?
Not even a 33.
Not even a 33.
3210.
Yeah.
The 3210. Oh, no. What's the normal one?
The brick is the 3310.
3310. I had a 3310.
The one you play Snake on. The first original Snake.
Yeah. And then I used to put reminders every day that I will be great and successful in the morning and in the evening.
Nice.
But then a lot of the times, sometimes I used to even clean toilets in California.
Sure.
But I used to clean toilets, but like listening to like the Walkman, but thinking I was the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I was cleaning fucking toilets. But I had the reminder, 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the evening, and it used to say, you're going to be great and you're going to do great things one day. And then I just you know, travel around America, learn a lot, and then I came back, and I came back into the industry because I started when I was 9 years old in the industry, and then I came back when I was an adult.
Awesome.
Siv, would you, because when I'm listening to him, when I met Siv, I went up to him and was like, man, I think I know you from somewhere. I've seen you somewhere. Then he's like, yeah, I do a lot of things. You probably have seen me somewhere, you know. Would you describe yourself as a hustler? Would you say you're a hustler?
Definitely a hustler.
Yeah.
Definitely a hustler. It's the same as, remember when COVID started and comedians, actors, entertainers were fucking struggling from the first week. I thought to myself, how can you be struggling from the first week? Like, there needs to be a way for you to make income. And for me, I never want to be the guy who's struggling. I never want to be the guy who A, has to budget. I never want to be the guy who has to think about how will my next paycheck come. Yeah. So that I have multiple things in the pot. Multiple things that I want to do, businesses, charities, acting, comedy, presenting. So there's multiple things I like to do, but I never do anything that I don't enjoy. So you'll never see me doing something I don't enjoy. But no, I hustle, man. I do what I got to do. But I'm all about ethical. I'm all about being ethical, consistent, and authentic. I have no time for anything illegal or anything that could potentially get your ass whooped. when I get my ass whooped, I want to get my ass whooped because I did something wrong. You know, I want to. I'm all about violence as well, but controlled violence. So if we want to fight, we can talk about what's happening. You know, but I don't want to ever get one day be hunted for something that I got no time for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I definitely love hustling and doing what I got to do to put the money on the table. And but the most important thing for me, I think, apart from what I strive for power, not fame. I think a lot of people want fame. I want power, man. I want to be powerful. I want power, and that's what I want.
I think you must join the PA, Patriotic Alliance.
Patriotic Alliance.
It's a bit like Gayton McKenzie there. It's saying you want power.
I like Gayton. Yeah. I like Gayton.
Look, South Africa, very high unemployment. People feel like there's no opportunity out there. The way you're speaking is inspiring, just listening to you. I'm a medical professional. I'm, you know, grateful and lucky to and privileged to have a job while other people don't. I don't know if you'd call it advice, but you sort of like seem to know how to get up and do for yourself and make something from yourself. You know, how do you start? Where does it start?
For me, I think currently what I when I look around and I speak to a lot of people, I think that the modern humans currently don't realize that the bad times are actually part of the growth process. I think a lot of people at the moment, I know there's a lot of people who are struggling. I'm not naive to that. There are people who are trying. Because to be truthfully honest, boys, if hard work equals success, then most African women would be fucking billionaires.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like hard work doesn't equal success. That's not. I'm not saying you need luck. You need hard work. You need, you know, consistency, authenticity. There's a lot of things that happen, but I do think like sometimes like we talk about man's mental. We talk about mental health all the time. You know. Mm-hmm. Bro, even when you're rock bottom, keep trying, dog. You know what I mean? Like, keep going. Giving yourself a fighting fucking chance. You know what I mean? I'm actually seeing a friend of mine. My friend is now just came out of trying to commit suicide recently, and I'm seeing him tonight at a at like a home that he's in. You know, and I sit there and I chat to him, and I said to him at one moment, I said to him, you know what, dog, if you want to end your life, bro, yeah, do it, dog. Like, okay, cool. Okay, I'm not going to stop you. Like, there's this bullshit that people think about, like this thing that people talk about and go, check on your strong friends. I think that's the biggest load of fucking bullshit. Check on your strong friends. That is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. If someone wants to kill themselves or do something, they're going to do it one way or the other. You can check on them this day, but the next day they'll do it the next day, you know? And that's what I realized about this friend of mine. This friend of mine is the most amazing, strong individual. And I was always there for him. But if you want, he tried to kill himself 4 to 5 times, you know what I mean? And he was the strong friend that I checked up on. But what I did say to him recently, like we say 2025, we're like, dog, get back to sport, get back to doing what you love, get back to doing what makes you feel happy. I'm not saying that's the pill, you know what I mean? But I just feel like currently a lot of people in 2025, you can find people online to agree with any shit that you say. You will find a community. If you say that my left foot is exactly the same as my right foot, you can go on Instagram and someone will be like, yeah, I agree. There's always communities to agree with you. There's always communities to agree with you in this day and age. But what I feel, bro, I lost my mother 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. Bro, for the last 2 years, I've been going through hell, dog. The darkest, darkest, darkest time of my fucking life. It can't get darker for me. It can't get worse for me. I lost my mother. I lost my everything. I lost my backbone. I lost my biggest supporter. I lost my everything, right? And I could feel the darkness. I could feel that I wanted everyone else to feel how I felt. I could feel that when I saw people smiling on the side of the road, I wanted to fuck them up and say, why the fuck are you smiling? My mother's dead. I could feel that I wanted the world to feel the darkness that I was in. But there was a moment when I was like, have you heard the saying that cows and buffaloes are related, right? Genetically related. But the difference when there's a storm, the cow likes to run. Right when there's a storm. But the buffaloes discovered that if I turn around and I run directly into the storm, I'll be there for a shorter time than the cow that runs away from them. So I realized that I have to go face first into the darkness. I knew I had to work hard. So I did weird things, like I opened an album of all my mother's pictures, right? Then I put pictures everywhere. If you look, my house is full of my mother's pictures, so I couldn't run. I couldn't run. I needed to turn around and go head first. It's been the best part of me dealing with my grief. Back to your question.
Yeah.
I just feel like people just need to get the fuck up and just keep on trying. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. It's never fucking easy. But if it was easy, everyone would fucking do it. You know?
Yeah.
I speak to these Gen Zs currently who are always late, who always have a fucking excuse for everything, who are unaccountable, then they complain that there's no opportunities. What? Show up on time. If you're on time, you're fucking late. If I say 6, you better be there at 6. Or if you're there at 6, you're late, right? I need you there at 4:45, right? You need to be accountable. You need to be consistent, right? Try that for a certain amount of time. And if there's no change, you're a hopeless case.
Then you're just useless at that job, whatever that is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and another thing for me, I believe that there comes a time when you gotta give up.
Yeah.
Like, I know we don't speak about it a lot of the times, but there comes a time when you have to be able to honest yourself and go, this is not working for me.
For you personally, I think that's an important thing, is like, you're not gonna be great at everything.
Yes, yeah. I need to pivot. I need to try different other things, and I need to collaborate with other people, because other people might have other strengths. Like you guys sitting there, I've watched you guys speak. You're all incredible. I've seen the kind of stuff that you do, the kind of work that you do, but you all have your strength. You have a black brother over there who has a body of a Greek fucking god. The guy on his left is not shaped like a Greek god. He's shaped like a broom. You know what I mean? Like, not everyone has the same strength.
Yeah. So, just touching on that, right? So, I know you as a very active person, like from your social media, very like out there physically, you know. I just want you to touch a little bit on that. You know, how is that, or being very active, helped you mentally? You know,
the physical aspect. Yeah.
So that's a great question, because I think so. For me, so I run marathons. I do all different kinds of, but every year there's always something physical that I have to challenge myself in. Right now. People watch people finish marathons and cry. And people who have never done marathons will never understand how it feels to cross the finish line after training for many months, right? But what I do realize about exercise is that once you're able to cross the line, no matter what kind of line it is in exercise, it helps you with your personal life as well. you know? Mm-hmm. So when you were in dark times, it's the same as when you were in that gym and you had to exercise for like 2 hours and you're dieting, you're eating shit food to be able to have results.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I feel like exercise and keeping healthy, sometimes you can have a long-term goal or a short-term goal, or you have small little short-term goals or a long-term goal. I think it helps you with life to be able to achieve different goals in life. Yeah. Like this morning, I woke up, I wouldn't feel like going to exercise, but I did. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. And some days you have shit days and you have to go exercise or you have to go do other things in life. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone should be active. If it's a walk, I just came from Vietnam, guys. Mm-hmm. Vietnam, they all have these small chairs, right? Small little plastic chairs. So when they eat, they do like squats every day. They do multiple squats, but it's just for them to sit down to eat. You see different women, old or young, on their haunches, you know, just chilling on their cell phones on their haunches. Then they have to get up and down, up and down. Mm. You check that, they've done flipping 20 flipping, you know, like squats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then everywhere they're walking. I don't think we have a culture of walking in South Africa.
Well, I mean, we know why.
where is it safe for us to walk? Tell us.
Cape Town on Sea Point.
Yeah, but I definitely feel like exercise is one of the things that have definitely helped me in to be able to be the guy who can do multiple things. Mm. So, for example, I box at quite a high level. Mm. I played quite high level rugby as a kid. I played Western Province rugby. I played Western Province water polo. And now I pole dance at quite a high level, you know. Mm. I play paddle, you know. So for me, I think if a lot of the times the people who are able to take the discipline of sport can take the same discipline into all the different facets of their life.
That's true.
100%. And I think you were going back to what you were speaking about like, you know, in the context of men's mental health, you know, we find that it is very important. And a lot of the men that we consult with, if they're coming to us saying, I've got a low mood, I've got, you know, low energy, low libido, you know, their testosterone is not potentially at the level they want it to be. Some of the ways in which we can counsel men to get to where they want to be before they take any supplement or any injectable testosterone or whatever else is to just do difficult things. Mm. Men need to, I'm not saying all humans need to do difficult things, but particularly men need to do difficult things in order for them to feel useful.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
To feel useful is to be a man. And so,
Have you seen that? I'm sure you've all seen the suicide rates of men.
Yes. Yeah. Up by 40%. Way higher. Yeah.
They are incredibly terrible currently, right? Mm. But the biggest thing that they've found with men who commit suicide, it's about feeling, having worth, right? Yeah. Mm. Being needed, right? Mm. And a lot of them feel worthless.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a worthless man or a man who feels worthless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in other words, if you're not providing for a woman and children, if you're not protecting children or a woman or whatever, if you have no job, if you're uneducated, then what stops you from doing a crime? What stops you from raping? What stops you from doing anything? So for me, it's about making sure that men... there's a need for that. Today I met a man who his wife cheated on him, right? Now, as soon as a man gets cheated on, right, he wants to hurt other people, right? Because he feels worthless, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And he realized he had to go to therapy because he felt worthless. There's nothing worse and more dangerous than a worthless man. Like it is a dangerous place to be. Yeah. And for me, if you go to gym and you pick up 150 kilograms, in that community, you are this incredible strong person who's worth something. Mm. Then it passes on to your next life. Okay, cool, I'm playing paddle. Okay, cool, I beat them 3-0 today. Okay, cool. And gradually it branches out to the rest of your life. But if every day you feel like you're a piece of shit, you're an alcoholic, you're a drunk, you have no children, you have no wife, You have no girlfriend.
No, that's true.
They masturbation. Say this generation is having less sex than any generation. Yeah,
porn
past.
And masturbation.
Yeah. No,
that's true.
It's true. Like ejaculating. My biggest thing at the moment, my biggest mission at the moment is to talk about men's mental health and the state of masculinity. The answer to masculinity.
Please repeat that. Maybe we didn't hear.
Please repeat that for the people that didn't
hear.
The
answer to masculinity is not making it more feminine. Right? Like, if me and... Okay, think about this, guys. If I'm in a room with five women, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't give a fuck how independent those five women are. If they don't want my protection, they don't want my money, whatever, whatever. But if a man walks into that room with a knife, those five women will look at me to protect them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
Now, the world cannot be selective when they need men. Right? It's been very fashionable for the last 6 years to bash man and call us trash. But when we have to go to war, we're the first people they look at.
Mm.
Right? When it comes to a fight or to protect you in that moment, they will look at us.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So for me, masculinity is a beautiful thing. The world needs masculinity. Mm. Making us more feminine is not the answer to masculinity. Does masculinity have a problem? Yes, we do. Do we have toxicities? Yes, we do.
Mm.
But do not think for one moment that the world can keep on going without masculinity. Because that's funny as fuck.
So if I have another question for you. I mean, we're not going to act like we didn't hear you say pole dance, you know?
Yeah. So yeah.
just tell us more about that.
How did you get into it? Yeah, because...
Exactly.
I mean, so obviously, like, I've heard you online talking about masculinity. I agree with a lot of the points that you make. I think that we do need a reform in masculinity and the way in which we perceive that word, because all we hear that word is linked to another word, which is toxic masculinity.
Exactly.
Like there's no other...
And they're not the same thing.
And they're not the same thing. And we know they're not the same thing, right? But I'm saying you're an advocate for masculinity and in a healthy way and so on. When people probably look at you online, they go like, I don't know, I'm a bit confused because I see Sif pole dancing and now he's wearing heels.
What's going on?
I'm just saying, like, on the outside, they probably like, hey, this guy's champion men's health, you know, masculinity and reforming masculinity. But then at the same time, Sif's wearing heels. Like, for you, in your mind, do you find at any point that those two things can't exist together?
I want to start by saying I don't give a flying F what anyone thinks of me. Mm. It's got nothing to do with me, right? I've never cared. Let me not say I've never cared. In my adult life, I've learned how to not care, right? Mm. First of all, for me, I pole dance because it's physically the most difficult thing I've ever done before in my life. I've done bodybuilding.
Shout out to strippers. Mm.
Pole dancing is one of the most difficult things I've ever done physically, right?
So more than boxing, more than the bodybuilding you did.
Boxing, more than rugby, more than water polo. Sure. Now, if you Google right now, the hottest sports in the world, usually number one is boxing. Usually one and two is usually boxing and tennis. Usually there. Then third or fourth. And then water polo, rugby, they're always in the top five of the hardest sports. So I've done the hardest sports at quite a high level, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that pole dancing is the most difficult thing I've done physically in my life.
Yeah.
And hands down. And I was, during COVID, I wanted to try new things. I did pole dancing, I did drag. And I do pole dancing, I do drag. And you
did it in heels. That's even more hard.
What's drag? What's drag?
Drag. Let's
no, drag's not a sport, man.
Drag's not a sport. It's not. It's not that.
To color people,
drag. That's
what I'm saying. He's thinking.
Make it. It's not a sport. So drag is when you shave and you put on makeup and you put on a wig and you look like a woman.
I have a
persona called Savannah. It's confused many a man who think and woman who think I'm gay, but even that, you know, people who think I'm gay, it's none of my business what they think. Once again, I actually had a woman the other day, I was hooking up with a woman a little while ago, and she said, let's create a sex tape so people, and then we can prove that you're not gay. And I was like, no, I don't need to prove to anyone that I'm not gay. And we're not releasing one just to prove that.
So she we can become famous.
You know what I mean?
I'm just wondering what you did to this woman for her to want a sex tape that's going to be released.
It's powerful. Your self is powerful,
all,
I'm sure.
All you must know is that it was good. But even talking about libido, for me, I, as a man, I've definitely felt a difference in my libido as a man. And I'm quite an active... reasonably healthy man, and even I am 40 years old. You know, you could see the hair thinning a bit. You're developing muscles, not as easy as it was. I'm turning 40 this year. Libido's not as, you know, I used to be driven by my penis to have as much as possible. I can feel that getting a bit lower. So like the first time you and I spoke was actually that was the topic about lowered libido and the difference in men's health kind of a thing. You know what I mean? And there's definitely a difference, and I can feel the difference. You know, and I'm open to having that conversation. I speak to my guy friends, and then you know, like I think a lot of the times the therapy space is predominantly woman led, right? Mm. Most therapists are women, and most people who go to therapy are women. Mm. So a lot of times men go to therapy and feel like therapists are talking to them like they're women, and we don't communicate the same way. Yeah. Mm. So a lot of the times for me, the best place that I have with guy friends is when we're on the paddle court. Oh, fuck, you know, my libido's feeling a bit lower these days. Yeah, me too. Oh, my God, me too. Oh, shit, me too. But for us as men, we share that information when we're doing something better than us sitting on a fucking couch talking to a stranger.
Yeah.
And I don't think the world sees that men do communicate differently to women and vice versa.
No, that's very interesting. So, I mean, we initially, we had that chat about libido you know, not just sex drive, but, you know, the quality of sex and how much you're having and all of those things. We, as you know, we have the Gents Clinic, and a lot of our patients that we see consulting with us, they consult first. Like men, one of the biggest reasons why men consult, whether it's for their diabetes, for their hypertension, for their hypercholesterolemia, they consult when there's a problem in the bedroom. When either they're not having enough, they're not having it frequently, they can't get it up, they can't last as long, whatever the reason. And I think it's very important that we shed light on these types of issues, because it's starting at a very young age. We've had many, many episodes on testosterone and its effect on men. We know statistically that a man in the 1960s at the age of 60 years old had the same testosterone level on average as a 30-year-old male today. So testosterone is at risk for a variety of different reasons: environmental factors, our diet, how much we exercise, how we communicate, also the chemicals that are just in our environment, in the air, in our foods, all of that are affecting us. So, I mean, we have basically a testosterone pandemic at the moment. I mean,
that's
there's patients,
what it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we have patients that are like 22 years old, 24 years old, who have testosterone levels of females. And I think it's important to shed light on these things and to have platforms where men can feel comfortable talking about this.
And get checked.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever, I know you said you mentioned like the libido or, you know, you're not having as much frequency as you'd like, maybe a little bit decrease in energy, not as much muscle size gains as you used to be able to do. Have you ever considered TRT?
Or tested your
testosterone? So the thing, the issue is not a lack of sex. I wish I was having less sex.
Clear that up.
I use these pills my friend told me about, the ones that it's like a herb, right?
Oh, okay.
And
Mpesu.
They were quite fun. Sorry?
Mpesu.
No, they're like these Chinese herbs.
Oh.
When I use them, I feel more interested in sex,
okay.
the like the old days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for me, when I'm on, when I was going for a bodybuilding competition and I was actually busy training for a film, I was on testosterone and I felt like a teenager again.
Yeah.
I felt like a teenager all over again. That was about 4 years ago. That's the last time I went to gym was 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
So, so then I remember, but then I could definitely feel a decrease. You know?
You've never actually checked it out.
No, I wouldn't mind. Sorry?
You've never actually checked like your current levels or what's your status
now?
No,
I haven't. So I thought initially, because I lost a bit of hair when I got it back, thank God. So I was like, oh, maybe the low libido is from the hair loss medication, you know? Which I know there's one of the symptoms. And I'm actually keen to actually get it checked out and see how it is. But I feel fitter. And I feel faster and I have better stamina sports-wise than I've ever had. Right? So, like, you know what I mean? But, like, I'm not trying to build muscle anymore. So when I said earlier, actually, the muscle building thing, I take that back because I actually haven't tried to build muscle in, like, 4.5 years. But I definitely feel more flexible. I feel I stand whatever. But I feel like in a night, I feel like I don't want 6 rounds like I wanted when I was like 18, 19. You know what I mean? Now I'm happy with one long round. Long round. You know what I mean? Like a long round. Like she must be so bad like, that she does not want any more.
She doesn't want more. Exactly. So good 2.5 minutes is... That's a good 2 minutes, 30 seconds is all she needs.
yeah. She's like, you know, they say, you know what I mean? So there's, but like, I think when I was younger, you would try to get many rounds in a night, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now, as men are like, yo, maybe one or two or a very long round, you know?
With sleep in between.
Sleep in between. And continue the round.
Let us nap.
That's interesting. But no, we'd love to have you come and get checked with us.
Consultation.
You know, you never know. If you can still feel great for a while your test is low. I mean, test is not the only thing that makes a man happy, successful, thrive, but it definitely will help. It definitely will make you more driven, more motivated, which you already are. I think it's natural in your personality. But, I mean, we see men that come in at around your age, right, when the testosterone really starts to dip because it starts decreasing every year from about the age of 30. So by the time most men hit 40, and they don't live the same lifestyle you do or have the same passion, drive, motivation to get up, go to gym, try new things, all of that. That's all those struggles that you do in your life are part of you growing as a man and probably maintaining your testosterone. I mean, we should probably do a study on it somehow. we'll use Civ as a case study. But what I'm saying is like most men sit at a desk. They have the same job year on year, same woman year on year. All of that contributes to your test. So by the time they reach 40 and their test levels are on the floor, we get them up with our regimens. We do it safely. And when they get up, men will say things like, I feel like a young man again. I feel like I have the energy.
Like a teenager.
Teenager. I feel like I have the drive. So not just sex. Now we're talking, the one thing I think they talk about is the mental factor that testosterone actually has, which is the drive, the motivation to do hard things. Whether it be going to the gym, whether it be taking out a new business venture that's difficult, it's about doing hard things that testosterone makes so easy.
And I think that's important because testosterone is stigmatized with the whole topic of it just causes like increased libido. It's about sex. Yeah. It's about muscle. It's about fighting. It's not. That's actually like one half of it. The other half is everything you're describing, the 100%. Mental... You know, the presence of being a man. If your testosterone is low and you're slouching on the couch and things are falling apart in the house, you've got no motivation to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, where's the man of that house? You know,
there's no masculinity in that home.
Like, you see, like, having high testosterone feels like being stigmatized. People say, like, why do you want to have high testosterone? Do you feel like there's like a war? I feel like there's an underlying war on men. People don't want you to have high testosterone. Would you say that there's a war in men?
Isn't it, guys? So what you're saying is, I think currently a lot of men are being accused of a lot of the world's problems. There's definitely You look online. You ask the average teenager, does he like being a man? And he doesn't. Imagine you for the last 5 years. I think there's been a lot of man bashing. I think there's a lot of men who need to be bashed, and a lot of men who need to be held accountable.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a lot of man bashing, and I think a lot of people just don't understand masculinity. And I think people at the moment are definitely confusing masculinity with toxic masculinity. They're not the same thing. Yeah. And I think sometimes you see a very, very masculine man, and now it usually equals to be a negative. You know, the stereotypical man on a motorbike. You know what I mean? Yeah. Stereotypical guy who's a boxer. Guys, some of the nicest people I know are people who ride motorbikes. Some of the most calm, loving individuals are the one who I... Tomorrow night, I'm going to go to the gym. We're going to fuck each other up for a good maybe 20 minutes. Have the most amazing conversations afterwards. Mm. The nicest, softest guys. The man who has the darkness must be able to control the darkness and protect the people that he loves with his darkness. That's what I believe.
Yeah. I think, Ness, I think there is a war conspiracy, I think, and something that opened my eyes even more. I even want to extend it to the labs that we use to draw blood tests. Do you know that, do you know if you want to compete in the Olympics as a female, you just need a testosterone of 8 or lower. But our labs say that a man can have a testosterone of 6.9 or 7, and then he's fine.
Yeah, that's the lower limit of normal.
And then he's fine. Mm. So there's men who often test and their testosterone is like 8.1, 7.9, it's 9.0. Then they get told, no, you're fine.
Which is less than an Olympic female athlete.
Yes, exactly. You can go and qualify Olympics as a female,
as a female and you'd be
with
fine.
A test like that, right? So when we challenge these things, the labs will say, I mean, I don't even know how they defend that. Like, where do you get your levels from? So, I mean, we just don't get it that there is a problem. People don't want to accept it because they think that we just want to give everyone testosterone. Serv, you mentioned you grew up amongst ladies, and yet today you're here and you're so vocal and fight for masculinity and men. Do you think your upgrowing with ladies only somehow made you a man or had opposite effect? What effect did it have on you? And what do you think boys growing up with single mothers, for example, you know, are there any of these outcomes that we see, negative, toxic masculinity, that develop from that?
So I'm actually known for fighting for women's rights. I'm known for fighting GBV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what I'm known for online, actually, predominantly. But for me, I'm sick and tired of people treating the symptoms. The symptoms of toxic masculinity and failed masculinity is GBV, the raping, the killing, all those kind of things. I'm sick and tired of people only when a man kills his family or only when he rapes, does everyone go, we have a problem. We have a problem even if he doesn't rape or GBV. You know what I mean? Like, we need to start addressing the issues before they get to the point of being the symptoms, and that's hurting of women or vice versa. So for me, I think what has happened for me is that I was raised in a household of a very strong woman, very opinionated woman, which has made me really stand up for women's rights and fighting for the marginalized continuously.
Yeah.
But in doing all of that work, I think for most of my life, I have realized that, wait a minute. I spend so much time trying to protect women from men, and I am a man, right? So I'm part of the problem, right? But I haven't done enough work in trying to put more time and effort and love into the boys, right? Yeah. More time and effort into the men, right? And I think that's a flaw that I've realized. So actually what I'm trying to do is get involved and be an ally for women, but vice versa, being able to take a moment and go, wait a minute, spending so much time trying to protect and be vocal against GBV, but I'm doing nothing for the boy.
The root cause.
Yeah. You know? And I think you can't... Isn't it ironic that... So the year of the man month or whatever was like October, right?
November?
Man month or something.
Isn't it November?
November, right? But it leads into 16 days of activism, right? The flipping irony, right? You cannot, you will never be able to fix the GBV stats, the rape, all those stats without talking about men's mental health and talking and doing more for men. It's just, it will not work. It's the same as if someone... You guys are doctors, right? And someone has a rotten toe. It's like you can't do anything to help it.
and you go, no, it's just rotten. Leave it. Just leave it. It will be fine.
Yeah.
And then the foot rots. Mm. Oh, just leave it. Let it go. It'll be fine. Then the leg rots. Mm. No, you should have cut off the toe long ago.
Yeah.
So now, so I find people butching and moaning about men without anyone doing anything. You see corporates spending millions and millions and millions of rands on fighting GBV, but nothing for the boy child. What? Mm. What do you mean? Right? Mm. So you guys spoke about the conspiracy about against men. So I listened to a guy called Chris Williamson, Modern Wisdom. And the guest says, the reason why people don't do a lot of, there's not enough work about boys, is it's actually a money game. The charity that gets the most money to be able to help men's mental health and physical health is Movember, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Name another charity. Go. Name another one. Go. Do me a favor. No, go. No.
I didn't even know there are charities.
Charities know, yeah. For men. Movember.
No.
Yeah, for men.
Or young boys or anything like that.
Anything pro-man.
Nothing.
Go. Listen.
Pro-man.
Nothing.
Pro-man. If it's
going to be the Catholic Church. Sorry.
Against
the Catholic Church.
Oh, wow.
I cried.
So, what it is, guys, it's a money fight.
Yeah.
It's a money fight. It's about money, right? Because they don't want to share the money. It's easier to ask for money to create these safe houses for women, women's education, vice versa, all that kind of stuff. It's a money game.
Treating the symptoms is more lucrative.
No, so the government is funding women empowerment more than masculinity.
Yeah, like cancer.
Yeah.
Like cancer, guys.
It's true.
It's a lot easier to, like, guys, if we had a cure for cancer, do you think we'll ever hear about it?
No. Well, Russia's telling us about this.
Russia's on the horizon.
They say
that.
It's more profitable to treat it for longer than finding a cure.
It's like HIV.
Like HIV.
A cancer pill. One pill can be like 4,000 rand a month, you know. And
then you cure all of that.
So, yeah. But guys, off the topic, but all I'm saying for me is that I am not the face for men's, no. I'm actually I do more work for the girl child and the woman. But I've realized that you cannot be speaking about the girl child and try to protect the girl child if you do not address what is happening with the boy child.
Mm-hmm. The solution for GBV would be to show proper masculinity instead of woman empowerment, it would be to show proper masculinity, right?
You could do both. You could do both.
I
don't think they need to be exclusive. Like two things can be right at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm. Because I think a lot of people believe that if you give equality isn't a pie. Just because you get a piece and I get, no, it doesn't look like that. Everyone can get a piece.
Mm. So Sylvie is basically saying,
there's no way you can work in that space and be pro-woman without actually realizing, hey, let's look at the issue here. Like what's causing this? Yeah. So if you've noticed that, he's trying to show us that all these corporates and people who've been doing that, they have ulterior motives.
Bro, it's the same as that big black brother next to you. He knows that to get strong arms, you have to work your triceps, right? Yeah. Work the you have to work everything needs to be
around
worked.
The arm,
you can't just work your flipping top half and not work your legs. You know what I mean? Like a lot of guys go to the gym and they work their top off only. When you realize that the biggest release of testosterone and that helps you get bigger is if you work your legs as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like if you have a weak back, you never have big arms if you're weak back.
Exactly.
But for me, what I find quite interesting is I got a chiropractic appointment tomorrow, right? Now, I'm quite leg dominant, like thigh dominant. Mm-hmm. So I have a very, my lower back's always stressing. So then he has to release my hamstrings, my lower, all that kind of, because it's all linked. I can't believe that everyone keeps on treating GBV, right, child abuse, like it's this one singular thing without treating what's happening at the bottom and why it's so bad. Mm. You know, now that we're talking about it, it's the first time that I've actually seen the link of why I've started to move and pivot a little bit more to be able to help the boy child as well. You know, it's because I've realized that when the crime is done, it is a symptom.
Yeah, look, I think like when it comes to masculinity, Siv, the conversation needs to move away from just labeling all men as trash, right? We understand that there are always going to be bad men in the world. There are always, no matter how hard you try,
bad people.
There are going to be bad people. Let's use that term, right? There are always going to be bad people. But in this context, I mean, there will always be bad men. So there will always be men that hit women. There will always be men that sexually assault women, harass women. And I'm talking specifically in the context of men and women and that relationship. But if we just increase the number of good men that protect women, that also, like, if we're in a group of friends and we're talking and one guy is like, yeah, my woman is out of line and smacked her, we'll all look at the guy and go, sorry, what? But there are groups of men that'll sit together and go, yeah, you must hit your woman if she steps out of line. Yeah, you let's, and laugh about it, and because that's the culture. But if you change the culture and the way other good men are going to hold their weaker men accountable. And that's the culture that we should foster. I don't see any problem with a man providing for a woman. I don't see any problem with a man protecting a woman. I see problem, obviously, with a man taking advantage of a woman or restricting her movement or not allowing her to work. So those two things need to, I think, work symbiotically. A woman must feel empowered in a relationship, and a man must feel respected, but also he must do something to deserve that respect. Take care of your family. Be a positive role model for the people that are around you that you are protecting. And then, I mean, in that scenario, in those cases, I think we're going to develop a society that is equitable. Not equal. We're not equal. I'm not saying that men and women are equal, but equitable is what we should be striving for. And I think with your, you know, the organizations that you're involved in, I know that even recently you had a trip to China and you were sourcing products for your foundation that supports free pads for young girls, which I think is an amazing initiative. And I must just congratulate you for that, because it's inconceivable for us who work in the government sector, who give away free condoms every day. And we know that there's hundreds of thousands of young girls who, of no fault of their own, are having their normal menstrual cycle and don't have access to
that form of healthcare. It's like ludicrous to me. It's ludicrous.
8 million.
8 million.
It's so sad, man. It's so sad when you get someone coming to the clinic
and just on that topic, right? Siv pointed it out. I mean, you talk about the corporations. Let me tell you about the government. The government knows that it's a money-saving tactic for them, right? By them giving away free condoms, what they know as a public health initiative is that if I give away condoms and they are free condoms, that may reduce the number of HIV infections, STDs potentially, unwanted pregnancies. And those, if those happen, then these people are going to come to the hospital, need healthcare, need medication, need gynecologists for the pregnancies, need ARVs. So a condom is a simple way to stop that. But they see no monetary or financial incentive in preventing or giving a young girl dignity while she's going through something that she's naturally experiencing it. That is the plain and simple answer for that question. Why doesn't the government?
I believe that condoms and pads, it shouldn't be either or. I think it should be both.
Oh, it should be definitely.
Realistically, because I think a lot of people see condoms as a man thing. No, but condoms help two people.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, 100%.
Because I think a lot of people like to...
No, I'm not bashing. No. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying,
other people don't. I think they should be both free. They should be both free. And I think for me, at the moment, guys, you know, at the moment... Like, more interesting. You know, there's still more females in universities than men, right? There's still a higher dropout rate of men than women in universities, right? So the mission was always to try to get as many women as possible into university, right? That system didn't stop, right? So, like, what we need to continuously do to keep girls and women in schools and universities is give them pads. Because if you're able to educate the girl child, let's be truthfully honest, guys, if you're able to educate a woman, she helps 3 or 4 people compared to us men, right? I will always be pro-woman, always and 100%, 20% pro-woman. But for me, I believe the government has been short-sighted. Because for me, if you plow back into the woman, right, I promise you they'll plow back 5 to 10 times more. For me, and the same hand, you still plow back into the boy child as well, you know, physical labor, all those kind of things as well. But for me, do not look past the girl child and the boy child. For me, help both. But pads, at the moment, I'm opening up a sanitary factory. At the moment, I'm actually trying to raise the last bit of money to actually ship my sanitary factory at the moment. It's actually on the ship, on the crate at the moment. It's like 1.5 million rand to bring it over. It cost me about 12 million rand to buy the factory from China. It should be open. We're trying to get it on the ship before the Chinese New Year. We'll be able to release Africa, if not the world's cheapest packet of sanitary pads at 3.50 rand. It costs about 2.25 rand to make. It's a game changer. It's called the Agoji pad, named after the West African all-woman army in the movie that I did called Woman King. We will end period poverty in South Africa. Actually, we'll start by the Western Cape. I say we could end period poverty in the Western Cape in the next 2 years if given the right opportunities. We'll be releasing the Agoji pad at 3.50 rand for a packet of 8. At the moment, we're distributing about 576,000 sanitary pads every single month. We have 176 machines that distribute in Southern Africa. We save an average of 2.5 million school days per month.
Sure.
We are the biggest sanitary pad charity on the African continent. No one will stop us. No one will come close. And at the moment, it's called Menstruation Foundation because it was created by two men. And we will end period poverty in South Africa if I have my way and the government can finally look and see what we're doing. We could end period. Okay, do you know that the Western Cape government spends 300 million rand on unblocking drains per year? 300 million rand. If we had 100 million, we could end period poverty in every single year with that 100 million. Do you know what's the biggest thing that gets unblocked in drains in the Western Cape?
Pads.
The biggest thing that blocks drains is cloths that girls use for sanitary pads. Right? So they use cloths because they don't have pads, right? And two, nappies.
Sure.
And they spend 300 million rand per year on unblocking drains. And their biggest blockers is cloths with blood in them.
Sure.
So
amazing, but man.
If you give us 120 million rand in that year, we end period poverty for that year.
Amazing.
Like, what the fuck? 22 million women bleed every single month. 22 million women bleed every single month, right? 9 million can't afford, right? And of that 9 million, 4 million on universities and high schools, right? Our target market is making sure that every single girl who is at school, which is 4 million girls, right, who cannot afford sanitary pads, can get free sanitary pads. Now, if every woman who can afford sanitary pads, which means 13 million of those, if they bought one packet extra, we would end period poverty in South Africa with a click. If every single woman who can afford sanitary pads bought an extra pack every single month, there's no period poverty in South Africa. Period.
Sure.
Period. Period.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's so simple. So yeah, guys, it's all about that. For me, I believe that there are simple solutions for very difficult things, but there are some solutions that are not simple. We know that. I think I spend a lot of time trying to educate South Africans that we have a problem. I think a lot of South Africans don't realize we have a problem at the moment. But it's a simple sum. 22 million women bleed. 9 million can't afford it. 4 of those million are in schools or in universities. So that means 13 million women can afford sanitary pads. If they bought half a packet, we're in period poverty in South Africa.
Yeah. Amazing.
And that's not even me challenging men to get involved.
Yeah.
Well, look, Siv, thank you so much for joining us. We're actually just running out of time. Very insightful discussion on masculinity and femininity and navigating our way in the world as men. And I think it's very insightful to hear that a man is on a mission to try and solve one of the biggest issues that face young women in this country. I know they call us trash, and some of us are recyclable. So
guys, you know when they call men trash, like, I don't blame women for doing it, but my best analogy is, if you're in a tank with 100 sharks, right, and only 10 of the 100 sharks actually bite humans, the hammerheads and the tiger sharks and the great whites. Let's say 20 of those sharks. Nigga, if you jumped into that flipping thingy, you need to treat every single one of those sharks like they could bite you and kill you.
Yeah. Now,
you can't be jumping in the flipping in the tank going, only 20% of these sharks could kill me. 80% of them can't. Women need to treat us like we all have the potential to hurt them until we prove them otherwise, guys.
100%.
So when they call us trash, I don't take that. I shoot that cuck, right? Yeah. Because I understand. But if I were to jump into a flipping tank with 100 sharks and only 20 of them could bite me or eat me, I would treat 100 of them like they could bite me or eat me.
Yes.
100%. Thank you so much, Siv, for joining us. And apologies once again for the delays from our production team.
Sister you guys Bettina. Are all so Joburg. You are all so Joburg.
I know, this is actually Cape Town baby. I'll be honest. This is too relaxed. This is too laid back. I'm not used to this.
Ask the lady who's been WhatsApping me how hard a time I've been giving
her. We know, Siv. We know. But thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciated the conversation. Please, book a consult. Come, let us know if you want us to check your testosterone and give you a few
shots in the ass.
Send the medication. Send the medication.
Hey, we need to check your levels first. We don't want to mess things up.
Check you out, too.
We can test it out. The only thing I would like...
Don't worry, it'll get delivered to your doorstep with the needles, injections,
guys, everything.
Guys, if it's a new woman, I can have 6 rounds in a night. If it's a woman that I've had 3 times, then I can only have 1 round.
New bums.
Yeah.
we know this phenomenon too well.
Bye.
All right. Bye, thanks, Sim. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next week for another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. My name is Dr. Soil Essa signing off.
Dr. Brendan Matthews.
Dr. Ntantla Vilagazi.
Dr. Naseem Sharif.
Siv, you can say goodbye.
Siv is gone.
Siv, yes, I'm humble as hell. Bye.
Cheers. Thanks. See you guys next week.